Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an irreverent media podcast.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Everybody, welcome to Go Home Bible, You're Drunk, the podcast where we dust off our very well-used Bibles that have not been touched in a while and try to figure out why they were teaching this to us as small children. I'm Tori. I'm a former evangelical. I was homeschooled. I always want to be really clear about that. I'm not a homeschooler. I get yelled at a lot by homeschoolers on Twitter for things like kids should have rights to education, etc. So not super popular in that corner of the internet for sure, and trying to decompress from 30 years of thinking that everyone who didn't agree with me specifically was going to burn in hell forever. So this is much nicer, much less stressful. Also have a co-host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Justin. Dusting off my Bible as well. Mine was very well used because I used it every week for my job, but now I don't anymore. I don't even know where my Bibles are.
Fair enough.
I might need to buy one for this podcast.
Oh, Goodwill. Buy one at Goodwill. Yes. Because it'll be like $2.50. Yeah. And there might be some funny notes in there about, I don't know, spiritual warfare.
See, here's the thing though. I am just not deconstructed enough to kind of believe in like bad juju kind of thing, you know, like is this someone else's like used Bible? I don't know who prayed over this,
I guess you're concerned about evangelicals because you're not concerned about Satanists praying over it.
So. Oh no, not at all. Like, if we could have a Satanist cleanse a Bible and mail it to me.
If anybody would like to do that, who's listening, you can send it to Go Home Bible, P.O. Box 666. That's our P.O. Box number, right?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Hell, Michigan. I don't know.
More like hell yeah, Michigan. Hell yeah. I don't know why I said that. I have no attachment to Michigan.
Yeah. Well, there is. Maybe you don't know this, but there is a town in Michigan called Hell, Michigan.
But why is it called that?
I have no idea. But there's, you know, the jokes and the memes about hell freezing over.
I see. Yeah. That must have been a Scandinavian thing. Maybe it was supposed to be like Helsinki, but they couldn't spell it.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, but it's H-E-L-L, not the H-E-L. So, I don't know.
Who knows?
Perhaps there was just a bog there.
Satan works in mysterious ways, as they say.
A sulfurous bog was nearby. And they're like, oh, this is like,
oh, I've been near those. Those are kind of scary.
Yeah.
Kind of spooky.
Well, there's a near where I grew up, there's a town called Yellow Springs. And it's actually a pretty cool little hippie town, honestly, but the water is very sulfurous.
Yellow?
It's yellow.
That's a special thing to grow up with, I suppose.
Yeah. For sure. Anyway, so fun geology lesson.
Geology.
Geography. So Well, speaking of the Earth, I suppose. And this by the time this podcast comes out, this won't be timely. People will have moved on. But in our current state, we have not. Or maybe actually we already have moved on, which, you know, is the whole discussion about aliens. Because allegedly, credibly allegedly, what's it a semi-credible allegation? I don't know. Like,
someone
who worked at the unknown aerial phenomenon department of the Pentagon has said that we have tried to reverse engineer unidentified technologies and have, what is the exact quote? We have recovered, the U.S. government has recovered non-human biologics, which doesn't feel like a scientific term, because non-human biologics would be most biologics.
Yeah, that's not clarifying anything. Like, non-human as in, like, not from Earth?
Mm-hmm.
That would be more clarifying language.
Yeah, non-terrestrial or human unidentified non-human biological material. That might
biologics
be.
Biologics came with some of these recoveries. Were they human or non-human? Non-human. There we go. That was the assessment of people with direct knowledge of the program that I talked to.
Yeah, non-human biological material or biologics. I'm not a scientist, but that non-human biologics does not seem like a term. But anyway. It's actually interesting because there's been these UFO videos that have come out, and I've seen some of them, like the Navy footage of the pilots that are like, what the hell are we flying next to? You know, or mm-hmm. it almost looks like whatever it is like toying with them. Like,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I mean, again, like these, you know, those are credibly real, but like it doesn't point you to what the phenomenon actually is. And so it's interesting to think about. I think the funny thing is it's just the utter apathy. Like, I mean, I remember growing up in the 90s, X-Files. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, which is right near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So there was like so much like UFO lore and, you know, like about Hangar 13 or whatever is what, you know, it's like, it's, you know, there's a UFO in there, you know, like it's, so it was in the air like a lot. And so I remember thinking like, well, if it's ever announced, this is going to be big news.
Right.
But it's like anytime there's a new UFO, whatever, alien announcement from like government officials under oath, you know, which if it is a lie, that's committing to the bit. Like,
yeah,
it's yeah, like, definitely. And yeah, we're just like, I don't care. I think there was one tweet that was like, are aliens going to cure inflation? Are they going to get me housing? Is that going to make the rent go down? No, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
What are you excited? I'm excited.
Like, I am too. Definitely.
But it's also, it's like a, I don't know. I've been let down before.
Oh, that's fucking amazing. Yeah, no, I mean, I was allowed to watch some episodes of Star Trek with my dad. He'd like watch them the night that they came out, and then he'd record it on the VCR. On the rerun so that he could cut all the commercials and all the like sexy parts. Star Trek feels kind of inherently unsexy to me, like
yeah.
The Next Generation a little bit. Deep Space Nine, like they don't feel like super sexy shows. But anyway, yeah. So I've definitely been really, really fascinated by the idea, the concept of aliens. And like, I think that growing up in evangelicalism, especially, it was like, oh, if we ever were to find out that these things are real, like that would break everything. Like
yeah.
all of their theology would be like down the tubes, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because the Bible does not account for any of this. Like I don't even know. Like, wait a second. Is there a verse in Isaiah that said that or another prophecy that was about like Jesus preaching the gospel to other worlds? Or am I conflating that with like the Book of Mormon?
No. Like, well, Jesus does say like I have I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't know the exact quote, but it's essentially I have flocks that you aren't aware of.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And which I have heard evangelicals take that to mean that there are essentially Christian communities on other planets.
Oh my God, Justin. If the aliens show up and they have they're wearing little crucifixes or something, I'm not going to make it. I'm sorry.
And so I don't want this, but a part of me kind of wants this for them to come and to share their religion. And it's just like Christianity, but they call it something else. And evangelicals flip the fuck out because it's it's not the name of Jesus. It's the name of whatever, it's not real. Their theology is awful. They're demons. And they're trying to spread the love of,
Yeah. Oh God. That's so funny. No, I do. That was before we started recording, I was this would actually make Mormon theology a lot more solid, because Mormon theology does talk about people living on other planets and having their own worlds and people going to other planets to preach the gospel. So
Mormonism ends up being true,
the rapture happened and all the Mormons are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong.
I will say though, Mormon hell is just really upgraded Earth, which sounds perfect.
If it's Star Trek Earth, I'm fine.
Right. Right. It's just sparkly Earth. Actually maybe I should convert.
Yeah, I want to go to Mormon hell.
I'm what's the path to Mormon hell? That's where I want to go.
Yeah, we're all single and we live on a better planet.
Going to celestial kingdom. That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Trying to build the celestial kingdom on Earth.
you get to go fuck aliens.
I'll just
be here. In hell.
Yeah. So the evangelical response that I've seen so far, there's the whole normal evangelicals are oh, interesting,
Normal evangelicals.
But the evangelical influencers I've seen have punted straight to demons.
Clearly.
And it's not just one. They're the one that got the most, I think, traction was this one by, I don't even know who she is, but this one person on Twitter who has a sizable following, but I've seen it other places too, where it's these are demons, or this is a trick of the devil to, I read it today. It was, rotted my brain, but that, people are this is, Hollywood and the media, or, they're all the same in their eyes.
What's next? The Jews? Where are you going with this?
The space Jews.
The space Jews.
Yeah.
No.
They're basically trying to desensitize us to aliens so that we will end up mating with them, but they're really demons. So I was like, first off, most aliens that I've seen, the whole grays thing, they're pretty smooth down yonder. So they're genitalia-less, which I would imagine the evangelicals would prefer.
Yeah.
They'd be fine with this. Kind of like the Barbie movie.
Barbie and Ken. Totally.
You'd think that they would be for this, but whatever. So there's that. And yeah, it's demons. Is it demons that are tricking us? Does the Pentagon have demons jailed down below? This is just where these are the questions I have. This is why I couldn't be an evangelical, because it's they would make these preposterous claims. And then I would start thinking okay, so it is demons. So we have demons. Can we see the demons?
What's the next logical step? No, it's okay. Yeah. But Justin,
how do you detain a demon?
They would say, I know that because I grew up in the wackadoo fundamentalist Pentecostal side of things, that people would straight up say you can have sex with people with vaginas, to the extent of my knowledge, can have sex with demons that they can't see.
True. Awesome. Well, there are both incubi and succubi.
Know if that's biblical.
Well, I suppose that's true. That's a little extra biblical, I suppose. But yeah, and then, you know, people with vaginas can also have sex with non-fallen demons, and there's Nephilim.
Facts.
So, and then the Nephilim then we can get fuck the anybody.
And then we get the flood.
Yeah, but the Nephilim are still around. We have covered this extensively.
They're like, the Phoenicians?
Yeah, they're the Phoenicians.
And the Ammonites?
Yeah, and maybe the Philistines. Basically anyone that was bigger than the Israelites were Nephilim. Yeah, well,
do you remember when, this is a couple of years ago, but the former head of the Israeli Space Agency was like, oh no, we're in contact with aliens.
Yeah. Like, and I guess here's my thing. Like, I mean, why are people relatively high up in our government, or at least in the intelligence community,
mm-hmm.
like, are saying these things.
Right.
Like, and the few people that I know that have worked in intelligence, it's pretty drilled in your head. You don't say things.
Oh yeah. You don't talk.
And so, like, that's where I'm like, and what is it that you get? Like, it's not like this guy's making money
mm-hmm.
saying this, really.
Mm-hmm.
Could, I mean, if it is real and he's breaking the law, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, no, my understanding of it is it's low key severance, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
What happens at work stays at work. Like, yeah. We will put you in jail for sharing state secrets. Trump.
Like, the U.S. government would do that in a heartbeat.
Right.
For these intelligence guys.
Right.
And gals. And other people.
No, I don't know. That's what's interesting to me. For me, the two things that are most interesting, because I'm kind of paranoid about this. Not paranoid. That's not the right word. But like, I feel a way about the fact, because my oldest has very recently gotten into Star Trek. So this is going to be like a years long autism obsession. I'm
buckle up.
Girding my loins. yeah, but I feel like there is, even though the premise is like really inclusive and broad, and like everybody's trying to work together, it's still really like Earth centric. Like, it's just got a lot of mm-hmm. main character syndrome of like, well, obviously, like the Federation headquarters, like that's
on San Francisco, of course. Yeah,
obviously, like, hello. And so just stuff like that, I'm like, okay, so where are the other countries with like pieces of alien ships?
Yeah, did like we shoot them down? Like, yeah, that's the like, and also like, if you have the technology to get here from another star or whatever, like, or another solar system, galaxy, whatever, like, you're not crashing. Like, that's not happening. We don't have a weapon that's going to take you down. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not, no. Like, you're leaving that shit on purpose or somebody's lying. Like, that's, you know, like, that's mm-hmm. to me, you're not going to just be like, unless, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's alien teenagers that took daddy's, you know.
It's a joyride.
It's a joyride, you know, perhaps. They got in the family, off some kind of like
spaceship. Yeah.
Jupiter gas. And yeah, there's just a lot of like, there's enough to, I think that's why people aren't going crazy, because there is enough. People don't want to believe this stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is an intrusion in my life. Having to deal with aliens is an intrusion right now.
Right.
And so there are enough holes, certainly, that you're like, nope. But which I feel like that's a healthy response, to be like, no. But to be like, well, if this is true, it undermines my theology. So it's got to be aliens, I guess. Or it's got to be demons, I guess.
Got to be demons.
It's got to be demons. And because demons put dinosaur bones in the ground, so demons can put aliens in the sky.
Okay. Once again, I would just like to point out, the demons are doing all the fucking work. Like, where is mm-hmm. God? Why is he not pulling his weight? This is ridiculous. Like, Satan is busy and God is in a coma. Like, what is going on here? Like, they're told us like worship the wrong dude almost, because yeah. like the dude we're supposed to follow does jack shit. Meanwhile, Satan like has a fucking agenda.
Yeah, you want to worship the Protestant work ethic? You need to worship the devil.
Truly, like, truly. Like, God does nothing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and imagine for yourselves, like, and I was always told, like, well, it's because God, you know, wants us to love him, like, doesn't want to woo us, doesn't want to, like,
but yes, like, that's you do.
What you, but that's what you do when you love somebody. You, like, treat them kindly. You know, remind them that you exist occasionally.
Don't leave them to be genocided or starved to death.
And if someone else comes in and outworks you, like, you don't just, like, kick back and be like, oh, this is just a test to see if they really love me.
It's like, I'm sorry, it's 5 p.m. in heaven. There's nothing I can do. I'm off the clock.
Sorry.
Maybe God has a really good union. He's like, nope, God did, I did
God's
all my
his
work.
Own union.
I did That's all my work. I'm punching out. Mm-hmm. Out of office.
I created this place. It's enough.
I don't know. I don't understand. Satan's doing all the work.
For sure.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
You can't. You can't.
So I mean, aliens would be nice, but it's probably demons, and demons work harder than God. That's a t-shirt idea right there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, like, look at all those fucking dinosaur bones. That's a lot of work.
And the variety of dinosaurs, like, we're still learning.
Yeah, yeah, we're still finding new ones. So they really like put the time in, put the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Way more impressive than whatever the fuck God is doing right now.
Yeah.
More creative, more innovative, more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, I'm kind of just tired of waiting around for God to do literally anything.
Fair. Yeah. So, yeah, regardless of what these aliens are, you know, they probably work harder than God.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, doesn't that technically mean that God loses? Just a thought.
Yeah. Love does not, in fact, win. Just because you say you're on the loving side doesn't mean you just de facto win. You got to work. Mm-hmm. You got to work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work.
Yeah. Man, I think one of the... Yeah, and then that's interesting because it's like, obviously, one of the worst forms of love is when someone claims to love you and then does the opposite of that.
Yes.
Like that's one of the most harmful things a person can experience.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a person with no power, which in this scenario is all of us compared to God. So, yeah, once again, we are presented with a very interesting situation that the Lord has either no ability or no intention of fixing.
Mm-hmm. Classic God. He was like, stuff. Hey, I have no plan on coming back. Can y'all aliens take care of these motherfuckers? Like,
it's like, I'm wiped.
I already tried to kill them with a flood once, and then
I've done this twice.
I made a stupid mistake of promising that I wouldn't do it again.
God doesn't have any sunk cost going on. No. He's just like, I'm out.
Out.
Amazing.
Oh, man. So that was one thing that happened this week.
It was
another thing that happened this week, and which this one's kind of timeless, I suppose. I'm not going to name names, but...
Yeah, I still don't know who this is about.
No, I'm not going to name names because it's not...
It's fine. It's not relevant.
But... And because honestly, by the time this airs, there will be another one. Is, you know, this whole thing about straight people coming out as affirming. And as a straight person who became affirming from evangelicalism, I get it. I get it. It's a journey for you. It's a tough journey. I mean, I'll admit that. It's an achievement. You know, just like deconstructing, you know, Andrew Seidel, friend of the pod, who was, you know, lifelong atheist. Like, he talks very encouragingly about people that deconstruct and people that change their minds. Like, it is an achievement. It is work. Like, so I don't want to take away from that. Okay. But you're not coming out. Like, that's like, you're not coming out of the closet. You're not, like, it's not the same. I even say superficially, like, internally, it feels the same, you know, like, mm-hmm. You can easily draw those conclusions, but it's like, wait, buddy, it's not the same. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just, and the problem for me, I think, is that it can kind of come out like and you made a good distinction because there was a Twitter thread, a couple, several Twitter threads, honestly, but like, and you made this good distinction and I'm trying to make it too. Like it's when it's comes, when it's done for accolades, when it's done for like, hey, check me out. Look at this journey. Look how, look at this crowning achievement of my deconstruction. And then queer people kind of become props for like my journey. You know, especially because this one particular one, it was like this person, you know, cited the, their sources or whatever, or the reasons they deconstructed. It was like, you know, like a decade long friendship with queer people. I'm like, motherfucker, it took you 10 years, you know, like to like of friendship. Like, I mean, when I deconstructed this, I knew no gay people, you know, really. Wow. Like, so it's like,
yeah.
Like, so you knew, you, people sat with you and you saw them and you engaged with them like on a human level for 10 years, you know, like, and, that, and that's where it's like, and again, there is no timeline on growth. I get it. But it's like at that, like, I don't know. It just, there's things that don't sit right with me about this whole phenomenon. And I've seen, and now there's like people that get book deals. Like, and I know pastors that have gotten book deals for becoming affirming. And there was a couple different churches that have had documentaries done on them about their journey to becoming affirming communities. And it's like, and there's not like, and there's like barely any queer people from the community interviewed. And it's like, this feels performative, or the way we're doing it feels performative, even if you're not meaning to be performative. I'm not going to assume that I know someone's motives, but It doesn't feel right. As a straight person, it doesn't feel right. And I would imagine as a queer person, it also doesn't feel right. And so I don't, just wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think using that language is like, that's kind of a like baby steps sort of no-no situation of like, don't co-opt the language of the people you're, you know, ostensibly trying to support. Yeah, don't use the people you're trying to support as props. Again, like, just really extreme main character syndrome happening, right? When, and I know we all struggle with this, right? This is like a very normal human bias that all of us have, right? So like, I'm not trying to be like pointing fingers and like hella judgy and whatever, but you know, it being aware of your biases is good. It's a net good for humanity. And like recognizing this, like, oh yeah, I'm not the main character here, especially in this particular story. You know, one of the things that I said, because, you know, performative was very much the word that came to mind for me, at least the other day, you know, it really reminds me of whenever somebody's like, well, I'm a good person. And it just occurred to me just now that it's literally always cis men who say this. It's like, I'm a good guy. Like in somebody's like Bumble bio or whatever. It's like hella red flags, because if you have to announce it, then like that means to me that you know your actions are not in alignment with whatever it is that you're saying. So it's an argument. Like it's an argument you're having with yourself and you're trying to prove it to other people by just like making this blanket statement. And I don't think we're really allowed to say like, no, you're fucking not actually. Like maybe you're a growing person. That would be good, right? Like I'm definitely like very here for growth. And that's, you know, that's like what I said the other day. It was like, if you have changed your mind, which, you know, I feel like my journey in this was very different, because one, it, like as soon as I was out of high school, I had gay friends. You know, and I think some of it was just like being in Portland, and like maybe there was something about me that was like queer coded before I really understood. Like I knew I was at least bisexual by the time I was 19. And yeah, so for me, it was always, the argument was always the other way, right? Of like, I'm trying to convince myself to not be affirming, right? Because it's like, I see these people, I know these people, I'm friends with these people. It's not like what I was told growing up.
Yeah.
And also, like, I know this is the language that I used at the time, would not use this language now because I don't struggle with it. I enjoy it. But I'm like, I know that this is something I struggle with too, right? Like, being sexually attracted to women people who are not cis men was very much something I was cognizant of, like, really, really early. I think for somebody in my condition, like somebody in my position, I feel like I kind of parsed that out pretty quickly. And I knew that it wasn't something I chose, right? It's like, you don't choose to feel attracted to or like aroused by some random person who's walking down the street, right? Like, that's not a conscious mm-hmm. choice you're making for most of us, right? And like, for some people, it doesn't work that way. And I get and respect that. But, you know, for people for whom it does, whatever that situation is, it's like, I'm not choosing to feel this way. Like, I know this is wrong, you know, in Bible quotes, or sinful, right? So it wasn't a choice that I made. It was just something that I kind of felt like, I guess I just have to like go through life like this. So when my yeah. friends would come out to me, I would like, not trying to like jump on them or whatever, but I also be like, I kind of get it. Cause like, I feel somewhat similarly to you. And like, but again, like, my Christian friends were coming out to me because I was the fucking safe one, mm-hmm. right? And that was the energy that I was putting out. I didn't have to go out and announce, like, I'm a safe person. You can tell me. Like, you can tell me if you're gay. You can tell me if mm-hmm. you're trans. It's fine. Like, I never fucking had to announce that. Like, people could, like, smell it on me.
This is like, actually fascinating. Yeah.
Gravitated towards me.
Because when I did become affirming, like, I didn't announce it because I couldn't, like, my job was on the line. Like, I couldn't announce it, you know, even if I had wanted to. But the number of people that came out to me after that and the number of, you know, queer people that I knew, because I did know a lot of queer people. I just didn't know they were queer. Yeah, that is actually is fascinating, because I would say the number of people that came out to me, or at least that I knew that they said, like, yeah, I'm, you know, this is who I am, increased dramatically once I had kind of become the kind, you know, just like, you just become this person. Like, you, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just like a, not a gaydar, but a safe dar.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Like, this there, maybe there's something like
safe.
That.
And so, like, I think that is a fascinating thing that I hadn't quite put together. But it's I guess it's one of those things of announcing versus just being. And I do understand some of the pushback of, like, you know, if someone, you know, if I don't even want to name names because I don't want to give them fame, but just someone who's a famous transphobe.
We can't guess who you're talking about.
If the Turfy Witch Lady, who wrote the one book. Like, if she suddenly became affirming of trans identities, I don't feel like she could do that quietly.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
I feel like there should be maybe an announcement, but the announcement would be, I'm sorry and I'm going to make amends and I'm basically going to let you guys, like, hold me to account mm-hmm. as long as you need to. But for, like, random Joe pastor, random Joe evangelical, like, why? Like, mm-hmm. especially when sometimes you peel back the layers and it's like, I to me, like, if you're spending more than a couple years on this, like, you've made a decision, you know, like, if you're like, I'm wrestling in the nuance or I'm just really discerning. Okay. Right. You can do that for a few years. I realize there's a lot of internal barriers there, but it's like, there are so many books and resources out now and so many gay people that are willing to walk you through this.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Why does it take you so long? Like, it shouldn't, like, it doesn't need totally. To, you know, totally. Again, when I was going through my journey, there were, like, I think two books that were okay. They were still doing the side A, side B thing. And you know, and it's like, I was walking around, like, are there any gay folk around? Like, you know, like, I just feel like it's especially now the vibe is so much different, and I'm like, there's so many resources out there. But yeah, I was feeling a way about it, and I especially when it comes to, like, getting financial benefit mm-hmm. or clout for doing what I feel like is the bare minimum. It'd be kind of like me coming out as, like, I'm not racist. That's what mm-hmm. I feel like it's what it should be now.
Right.
Like, I feel like it should be the default is when, at least me as a straight person, walks into a room, I should mm-hmm. just assume everyone is affirming.
Right.
You know, that should just be our baseline assumption that we, yeah. you know, and the baseline assumption that we should have about race. I mean, it's not true, but I mean, just like the baseline assumption is like, we're not racists. Mm-hmm. Or we're trying to not be. We understand that it's wrong to be racist, you know.
Right.
We're going to educate ourselves in the ways that maybe we still are. And but like, I feel like that should be the baseline assumption. And then when you see someone that's not, it's like, oh, that's the weird one. They've announced that they're racist.
Right.
And I'm like, I feel like we should get to a point, and we probably maybe are at that point, where it's like, we should just, the default assumption should be that you're fine with gay people.
Right. Like, yeah.
And then when you find someone that's not, it's like, oh, wow, you're homophobic. Mm-hmm. Like, we found you. You've announced it.
Yeah.
You've come out as homophobic.
No. Okay. So the one thing that I was really kind of wrestling with yesterday, and this is really funny, and I posted something about how, like, loving, for me, like, as a non-believer, like, don't have any, like, spiritual beliefs. I wrote it's a blog post. I wrote a blog post about...
It's an article, Tori. Just own it. I wrote a piece.
I usually say like an essay or something, but about my neighbors who are occasionally, once or twice a week, extremely loud. And it's a little bit irritating. And I think that like if I knew when it was going to happen, like maybe that would be easier. But what I shared is like loving your neighbor is still how I like orient my personal like ethical framework, despite not being a Christian, right? But that actually requires something of you, right?
Yeah.
Like, it requires you going, oh, these people are people. They're playing music. They're having a really good time. Me shitting on that actually makes me the shitty person, right? Like, me policing other people's joy makes me sus, to borrow my 8-year-old's word. And so the thing that I was thinking about kind of under that umbrella of like, I still do use a lot of like Christian values. They're not Christian values, because white supremacy is a Christian value. I still use a lot of like Christ teachings, I suppose, as a way to sort of orient myself in the world. And with this particular issue, I kept coming back to that verse where Jesus talks about like the shepherd goes off and like leaves the 99 sheep and goes and finds the one, right? And also kind of like the prodigal son, of like the one person who's a big old piece of shit comes back and it's like, oh, we're going to throw a fucking party for you. And I'm not saying at all. I am not saying at all. Like, I do anti-racism work like for my fucking job. Like, I do not throw parties for people who like make it to like the bare minimum. But I do think there, for me at least, there was very much something there that like I needed to explore in terms of like, yeah, how do we address this? Because hopefully it does become more common that people change their minds on this shit. And it's weird because it's like I feel like the tide was kind of coming in for a while, and like more conservative people, more conservative identifying people were becoming affirming. Now fewer of them are affirming, which really fucking sucks. And it was very similar with like Black Lives Matter. There was like this whole rush of people that were like, yeah, really support this cause. And then like over time, like this support has gone back out. And so for me, when I, you know, again, when I see like a white person like coming out as affirming, like my first thought is like, oh, cool. So you're going to be really into this for like 18 months or a year, something like that. And then you're just going to kind of be over it, right?
Yeah. Like, it's almost like sometimes people like announcing their Enneagram type, you know, like they're really into the Enneagram for like 6 or 8 months. And then it's just like, it's fine. Like, so yeah, white cis het dudes that are like, I'm affirming. I love gay people, LGBTQIA. I can do all of them. But then it's like, within like 8 months later, it's like, gay people.
Well, like, yeah. And I mean, I think that this is another issue, like, especially with cis men and feminism, like, right? Like, well, cis men coming out as like feminism or like pro Me Too or whatever. Like, there's so many places, unfortunately, where people can come out as being a just decent person, just like treating other people as people. Because in our context, that is kind of astounding. again, yeah. I'm not like trying to throw a party, but contextually, it's like, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? That evangelicals are better than their God. And that's kind of amazing, right? And like Americans are better than the founding fathers. That's for fucking sure. Like we're better than this country. And that's kind of amazing. Like it's not enough. We aren't there yet. And maybe that's kind of what it feels like is it's like, you know, we're still like doing this work. Like, why are you stopping to throw a party for yourself? And again, I think that like throwing a party for yourself is kind of antithetical to community. And like, if we're not willing to like be in community and like be in the mess with people and like love our fucking neighbors when they annoy the shit out of us, what work are you actually doing? Right? Anything that you're doing is for yourself anyway. So that's my take. I said I wasn't going to talk about this and then I changed my mind.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did for sure. And yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about this some more, but I just wanted to, while it was, I think, fresh on both our minds, get it out there. And yeah, and just, you know, if you're a straight white dude, like just be the thing. Let someone else celebrate you. You know, like that's just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, the celebration needs to happen in community with the people you're ostensibly supporting, right? And it's, again, it's not about you, but you get to participate. You can be there. You can, whatever, like, if you get invited to the cookout, if you, you know, if you get invited to have a slice of cake, like, come party. Like, that's great. But, yeah, like, throwing yourself a party is really, I think, kind of antithetical to the work, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we're going to throw a little capitalism party. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, the ultimate party. Killer.
Anti-party?
Anti-party? I don't know.
Something.
We'll see. Something. All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back from that little capitalism break. If you would like to take your money out of capitalism and put it directly into the creators of this show's efforts, pockets, basically put it right into our microphones and our hosting fees. you can join us on patreon.com/gohomebible. You'll get access to our Discord. You can get a life verse, a couple other perks and things that we're hopefully going to cook up here in the next few months. And yeah, it's a great little community and we would love to have you be a part of it. If you would like to follow us on social medias, you can do so at Go Home Bible on the things. And I am Justin.ordgentry on most of the things. Tori is Tori Glass on the things. Check us out. I have joined Threads and Blue Sky recently. I feel like this era of internet history, this chapter will be called Attack of the Clones. Because this is all these weird Twitter clones popping up and which one's going to be it. And they're exhausting to me. Like I get on Threads and I'm like, I have to build a following again. Like, like no, I'm just not. So I'm going to stay on Twitter till it dies. We're going to watch it die.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've decided to.
And then I might just walk away.
Yeah, yeah, no. I think that I'm gonna stay on Twitter until it dies, or I guess shitter, as we're now calling it.
Or Xer. The whole X thing. I mean, sorry, Elon.
Put the Christ back in Twitter, man.
Put the Christ back in Twitter. Like, yeah, anything with X in front of it is probably not gonna be a domain name you want associated with your social media. Just saying. Yeah, someone said if we post videos to Twitter, are they called X videos now? So yeah, you can check us out on things. So yeah, so we're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant this week. And I'm just going to say, like, any new conspiracy theories you come across, I would just go ahead and take a drink because there are so many. And so many odd, weird, we're going to get into it. So do the thing. Take a drink. So I guess for those of you that don't know, maybe we should take a step back from the Ark and explain what the Ark of the Covenant is.
Yes.
Before we just dive into this.
Yes. I mean, I think I think it's great. For those of you who have not seen Indiana Jones and whatever racist shenanigans he got up to, Raiders of the Lost Ark. sorry, guys. Like, those movies are, like the idea behind them is so great, and they're so fucking racist. Of, like, there's a thing that exists in the world, which means white people get to have it.
Yeah, it belongs in a museum. Like,
that's called theft.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, like, one of the commandments.
Yeah,
but it's in the Ark.
It's funny, if you make the, like, not, if you make the person with questionable motives fight Nazis, though, they look great.
That's true, because you always look good compared to a Nazi.
Pretty much.
Even Nazis look great compared to Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Ark of the Covenant was God's little magic box that he had the Israelites make while they were wandering in the wilderness, which, again, like, what kind of fucking crucible do you have to make a, like, child-sized coffin, as I've heard it referred to, out of gold? because, like, how are you doing this in the middle of the fucking desert? That seems really absurd to me. But, so, God does very conveniently tell them exactly how to make it, almost exactly how to make it, in Exodus 25. So, thanks God, this was something that we needed to keep around for all of eternity.
Yeah.
Like, this information. So, yeah.
How to make this box that is a one-of-a-kind box that cannot be recreated.
Right. And it's got, like, really, well, we'll get to it. It's, well, got, like, really big magic, so.
But the details, here's the thing, like the details are a box. The dimensions are a box. Like, like, that's, but, like, the parts that are interesting, like the cherubim on top, no description other than cherubim.
Like, their wings touch in the middle.
Yeah. It's like, that's all you're going to give us? Like, no detailed description of what these cherubim look like? Like,
no, anyway. No, of course not. But
feels like the final season of Game of Thrones. Like, we got great. It was great. And then at the end, it's like, cherubim. Just put them on top.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, God isn't even halfway done when he starts with this. Like, we're in Exodus 25. So the ark is supposed to be made of acacia wood. It's supposed to be 2.5 cubits. By length, and a cubit and a half by its breadth. So a cubit is approximately 18 inches, or the length of your elbow to your wrist. Is that what you said? I thought it was like your elbow to like your middle finger or something.
Yeah, that seems right. Elbow to the middle finger-ish.
So you're supposed to, God says, overlay the acacia wood box with pure gold inside and outside. Just so we're clear. And then it says, you shall make a molding of gold around it. You should cast 4 rings of gold, like, for it. Yeah. Yes. Is it cake?
Yes.
Cast 4 rings of gold for it, and then and put them on its 4 feet. Interesting. 2 rings on the one side and 2 rings on the other. Thanks God. That was helpful. You should make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. Gold, just so we're all on the same page, really fucking heavy, but not a, like, load-bearing material by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So, why? Yeah, so the poles, it says, shall remain in the rings of the ark. Don't take out the poles, guys. Very clear. And then God says, you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. And then it talks about, like, the mercy seat, which is the top of the box, and it's got 2 little angels on it, yada, yada, yada. Nobody fucking cares, God. Why is this fucking in here? So that's, that top part is called the mercy seat, and that's where God sits.
Mm-hmm. Very uncomfortable seat.
Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable seat. And then it's, and God says, if you want to meet up.
He sits on an angel's face.
I mean, John Hey-o. Piper wakes up every morning with the devil sitting on his face, so this is not surprising, right? So God says, I will meet with you there.
That's where you'll find me.
Which means stay the fuck away from the fucking ark.
Yes.
You do not want to be found by God. I feel like Jonah can attest to this. And God's like, I will speak to you. from the mercy seat, which is just me sitting on two gold angels for some fucking reason.
Mm-hmm. Sitting on angel faces.
Yes. So then the contents of the box, the magic box, supposed to be a jar of mana, which we recall may or may not be quail shit. And it's supposed to have Aaron's staff, which makes me think Aaron was a very short person.
That's some Hobbit nonsense.
I know, right? Thank you. Aaron was a Hobbit. If it fits.
Explains also, a lot, actually.
And the Ten Commandments, the second, the remake, the one that Moses had to do because he broke the first one because he was mad. The Ten Commandments on the two tablets are also supposed to go into the Ark. And then from what I understand, and Justin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you're the expert here. It was supposed to be covered in seal fur so that people wouldn't know that they were carrying a big golden box.
Yeah.
And I think that's so funny because it's just like, why are they carrying like a pile of skins?
Yeah. I mean, the seal fur thing has like,
it could have been some other animal that they just didn't have one for, fur.
I think here's the thing. This is what I'm going to say. I think the editorial position of this podcast is going to be that it was seal fur.
I mean, it's in the Bible, so mm-hmm. It can't be wrong.
Yeah.
I looked this up.
There are other interpretations, but I will just say that I'm going to just say, yeah, that's what I'm going to, it was seal fur.
Okay. So, the Ark of the Covenant was then supposed to be put into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, which was a tent inside of a tent inside of a tent. And God liked killing people who came into the real small tent in the middle. So they had to wear bells on their clothes. So if the bells stopped ringing, they could then use a rope that was tied to the foot of the high priest and drag his dead fucking body out of there, because God is just a murderous asshole. And gets really bored and has, I don't know what is going on. I'm like, why do you want these three things in your magic box? Yeah, what are you going to do with them?
And perhaps this was common, but I haven't really heard this as a tradition in any other faith.
What do you mean?
Like, where like, oh, if you go before God as his high priest, the appointed person on this earth, that according to the system he created,
you still might die.
He still might just kill you. Like, I don't.
Aware of that either.
I'm not aware of that in any other faith. I could be wrong. Feel free to email us, gohomebible@gmail.com. I would love to know. Send me a peer-reviewed article. I will read it. But it just feels like this is an aggressive deity.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It is very true. So, yeah, God, I don't know what he's doing in this box. This seems really annoying. I don't mean annoying. It seems really boring. Like, I just couldn't imagine being inside of a box all day. And, like, my only entertainment is sometimes someone comes in and I get to kill them if I feel like it. This is serial killer shit.
If they displease me. This is like the most introverted serial killer ever.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't want to do any work, but I'm going to make you come to me for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to go out and find people, but I definitely want to kill people.
God needs blood.
I'm going to need you to sprinkle some.
In the dark all the time.
He's got to be in that box. He is a very short vampire being carried around in this tiny box.
Hobbit vampire. God is a hobbit vampire. Oh, my fucking God. I hate this. I hate this so much. Why? Why, Bible? I'm sorry.
God is a hobbit vampire.
Who leads me to drink.
It leads, you know, but here's the thing. That makes sense according to the lore.
No, it does. That's the problem. I got like an hour-long lecture about lore this morning for my 10-year-old, so things are going great in my house, as you can tell. So then there was a moment that God has where he's like, bring me your shit, And that was really interesting, right? So basically, the Lord institutes this whole, the tithe, essentially. Maybe it wasn't the tithe. Maybe it was a different offering that they were supposed to, like, give to the Lord. But God's like, you need to give me some of your linens. You need to give me, like, your purple linens, your blue linens. You have to give me some of your gold. You have to give me some of your incense. You have to give me some of your spices. You have to da-da-da-da-da. And it's like this whole long list of, oh my gosh, like, God wants all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is low-key like a protection racket. God's mm-hmm. a gangster vampire hobbit.
Yeah. I mean all vampires are gangsters.
That's true. Like, okay. Just, fair. That it's just like, you got to do all this stuff or I'm going to fucking kill you.
Mm-hmm. I will kill you.
It's like, whose team are you on? I think that God is just a really tacky little hobbit vampire dude who mm-hmm. can't be out in the sun ever for any reason. And just, yeah, gets hungry. He's very hungry.
This is starting to be some, like, yeah, what we do in the shadows nonsense.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? This could be a whole, it's its own whole show.
Mm-hmm. It really could.
Like, what is your problem, you fucking gremlin? Okay, so this is all it's all fun and games until the ark gets stolen, which does happen in 2 Samuel 6. Lots of shenanigans.
Because the Israelites, they bring it out to win a battle.
Because it's their magic box, obviously.
It's the magic box. I mean, even just, you can't touch it. Even just the area denial alone. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. It's that's good tactics. Like, I applaud, you know. If, you know, and but the Philistines have no problem stealing it.
Right. Like,
it just gets stolen real fast.
How does that work? Maybe they just didn't touch it. Maybe they only touched the poles.
Possibly.
Maybe they knew. They heard the rumors.
I heard the rumors are true.
Like the tiny little hobbit in there will kill you. Don't touch the box.
As long as you don't touch the box, you're fine.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So they take the tiny hobbit to their place of worship.
Yes.
And apparently the just misfortune abounds.
Everything goes wrong. Everything that can go wrong, and more, definitely goes wrong when the box gets stolen. And yeah, so the Philistines then decide to return the ark because they're like, this shit is not worth it. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the Philistines, wherever they live, their whole land was overrun by rats and they all started growing tumors. So sounds like, I don't know, maybe somebody was like drinking uranium or something. I don't know what was happening, but
I mean, rats are associated in vampire lore. So this is still tracking. The story's tracking.
Okay, great. I love this. So yeah, God.
And I imagine if you have a rat problem, you have a tumor problem. I feel like those go hand in hand.
Oh my gosh. So the Philistines are like, this box is not worth the trouble. Mm. We're going to fucking send it back.
Which is what the Israelites should have done.
They should have been like, no, actually, we're not taking that.
Yeah, nope. Sorry. You took it. Like, no take backs.
Finders keepers. So basically what they decided to do was they decided to just like put the ark on a wagon, hook it up to two cows, and then shove the cows out, and hopefully they would wander in with the magic box to Jerusalem or somewhere thereabouts. And yeah, unfortunately the poor cows then once they got back to Israel, were then chopped up and given as a burnt offering to the Lord. So but the Philistines the Philistines returned God's box with golden tumors and golden rats. So that was nice of them, I guess.
Yeah.
One rat for every Philistine citadel, the Bible says.
Yeah. Here's a gold rat.
Merry Christmas.
Gold, here's a gold tumor. Like, I think that's just a lump of gold.
I know, this right? Like, I don't, it's just gold. Yeah, it's just.
It's just a gold nugget.
Rocks. Uh-huh. They'll just, like, maybe put a little bit of a design on it or something. Mm. I don't know.
Perhaps they wrote the words tumor on it. Just to make it. This is supposed to be a tumor.
Just so you know, this is, yeah, tumor time.
Yeah.
So, where does the art go? It goes to Abinadab, I think. Anyway, two of Abinadab's sons start to, this is actually, I believe, many years later. Two of Abinadab's sons are like, okay, let's get this shit back to Jerusalem. We don't need it here. During the journey, the cart started to fall. The ark started to fall off when one of the oxen stumbled. Uzzah?
Yeah, I think it's Uzzah.
That fell out of my brain in terms of how to pronounce it. Uzzah, being a responsible human person who didn't want God to get hurt by falling off of his box, reached out to catch the ark, which, now that I'm thinking about it, how do you do that? It's a gold box. But anyway, he died. God was like, no touchy.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that the box then just stays on the ground for a while. Apparently it was on the land of a man called Obed-Edom, who had really good luck in the stock market while the ark was on his property. And so then King David is like, all right, we got to get this thing all the way back here. So ark gets back to Jerusalem. David throws a party because obviously David liked to dance. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go check out our David dancing video with Transvangelical for the full deets on that one.
Episode. You said video, and I was like, oh my God, we have a David dancing video? What is this?
Sorry, not a video. Apologies. No, our episode. We did not do an interpretive dance of David.
That would have been fucking
dancing / masturbating wild, before the ark.
Wild, wild, wild. Okay, so basically the last place that the ark is mentioned in scripture is 2 Chronicles, which is a really long book that is not worth reading. And King Josiah celebrating Passover, and Josiah tells the Levites or the priests, like, put the ark into the temple that Solomon built. And so it's interesting, right? Because there's all of these theories about where the ark went, if it was a real thing, which, you know, I feel like it's kind of like asking, where did all the gold that was on top of the pyramids go? Like, huh, you just leave a gold thing hanging around. I wonder where it went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if it had been plundered by like the Babylonians, which is one theory.
Right.
So take a drink. It was plundered by the Babylonians. They would have chopped it up. Or maybe it would have been trophy for a few years, but, you know, eventually it would be like, this is just a lot of gold.
Yeah, they're just going to turn it into coins or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. I don't remember if I was told. No, I wasn't. I was like, I couldn't remember if I was told that it was taken to heaven, because some people were told that the ark was taken to heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's another theory.
Because John in the book of Revelation states that during his acid trip is like, oh, the ark's going to come back. It's after the second coming of Christ. Like, is it? Okay. Why?
Who? Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember.
What is the purpose? You already have Christ.
Yeah. In my homeschool level, you know, education, I remember a teacher telling me that, like, you're going to hear on the news someday that they found the Ark of the Covenant. And that's going to be the beginning of the end times, you know.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
They're going to find it?
Yeah.
We all know that there's just huge stashes of gold hidden everywhere on the planet. You just find them. Just boxes full of gold everywhere. That's great. I was definitely told it was still around and people were still looking for it, and that it would be really important to find. Once again, I'm confused. It's like, seems like my mother and Saint John, the drug tripper, which, like, no shade, but, like, you're crazy, both were like, well, we need to find it. It's important. It's like, we already have Jesus. Like, mission accomplished, arc. Like, what? We don't need you anymore. Like, what? Why? Why? So I'm very confused by that theory. There is a, like, the longest holding theory is that the ark sailed down up. I guess it'd be up the Nile to Ethiopia. And there is a church in Ethiopia that has claimed to have had the ark since I think like the 15th century. Which is, that was a doozy. It has a little teeny tiny, this particular chapel that ostensibly has the ark. Mm-hmm. Nobody's allowed inside. Has a little teeny tiny fence around it. And yeah, this is just apparently a theory that exists that the Abyssinians are in possession, who are just a people group in Ethiopia.
We've had it.
Yeah, have had it. There was a... So on June 25th, 2009, the patriarch of the Orthodox Church of Ethiopia said that he was going to unveil the Ark of the Covenant the next day on live TV, essentially. And so the next day arrives. I'm assuming there were some cameras there, at least. And homie comes out and is like, actually, it's fine. The Ark is fine. Mm-hmm. Everything is okay. You can go home.
Yeah.
So, but this is like kind of ostensibly the place that like, or like the longest running like claim to have the thing. Also, Justin, now that I am thinking about this, it would actually be feasible to fucking fake make the ark. Like, oh, you sure wouldn't actually need that much gold just to like cover the little box. You can make it look like you can put an angel on and then tear it off. And then put it on the other side. So it looks like one of the angels, one of the cherubim got taken off of it. And you could save some money that way. I mean, you don't have to have the poles, right? You can just make it look like the poles got disappeared. Because that's the easiest part to take. Obviously, you can carry that just one person. I think they should do this.
Yeah, for sure.
I would pay money for them to do this.
Nice.
Although I do think people would die. So maybe I wouldn't. I feel like, once again, I feel like people would go full Indiana Jones, be like, actually, that shit's ours. Some random ass American evangelical is gonna be like, look, I get to have this because God said, and also I'm white. So more evidence. So maybe I wouldn't do that, but that would be fucking hysterical.
So
there's a few other places that people claim to have the Ark.
This is one of my favorites. Did you read at all about Ron Wyatt?
I know that name because of the dinosaur thing.
Okay.
One of the dinosaurs.
Oh, I actually hadn't put that together.
He's connected somehow to the dinosaur story.
Oh my gosh.
Of Ebenezer. I swear to fucking God he is. No. Sorry. I'm wrong. Correcting myself live on the air. He's one of the Noah's Ark hunters is Ron Wyatt.
Okay.
He thinks that the Ark is in Turkey. Noah's boat. God, so this is confusing. Wyatt. This is confusing. Ronald,
who died in 1999.
Okay.
He claims to have discovered the Ark of the Covenant.
Really? I thought he only claimed to know where Noah's Ark was. Okay, this is amazing.
He knows where the Ark of the Covenant is, too.
This is excellent.
It allegedly... So it's confusing. I'm not going to get all the details right, but... Allegedly, he found it in the Garden Tomb, where we believe that Jesus' body was buried. It's also where the Ark of the Covenant is, behind like a secret door, maybe, that people can't discover. He had kind of an out-of-body experience that led him to this location. And according to his defenders, the Israeli government is engaged in a huge cover-up.
Uh-huh.
And so, which, you know, again, like... their alibis aren't that great. You know what I mean? They're always like the government of the place where this thing is, you know, against
wants to keep it intact.
Yeah. So he found it in the Garden Tomb. Oh, it gets even better.
He found it. So he saw it.
He found a black substance. Only he's seen it, by the way, but he found a black substance, along the mercy seat that he identified as blood.
Orc blood?
some kind of black substance, which he identified as blood, and he sent to a lab in Jerusalem, and they allegedly found that not only was the blood still quote unquote living, similar to our earlier term biologics, the blood was still living. It had only 24 chromosomes, 23 from the mother and one Y chromosome from another non-human source. Yes.
Get fucked.
Yes. This is what they say. And the Israelis cried out. This is, again, according to his account, where did you get this? What is it? And Ron, with deep emotion, told him, this is the blood of your Messiah.
So Jesus was crucified on the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes. So his theory is that the post hole that the Romans dug the cross in
just so happened flowed, to be okay down
the blood flowed into, down into the ground the where ground. The Ark of the Covenant was buried, and yeah, they found Jesus' blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and you can't find evidence of this, you know, like, and there's another guy, Jonathan Gray, who was a close associate, wrote a couple books about it. Like, I mean, it's in the lore for sure, and it's, again, like, you know, these discoveries, like, this is like, you know, pseudo archaeological stuff, you know, like, this is like people that are talking about Atlanteans having advanced technology are the people that go for this kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, like the finding the real Mount Sinai, like his other claims to fame, gosh. Yeah, I mean, and so yeah, his discovery of the Ark is wrapped up, you know, with he was also a Seventh-day Adventist, and so like there's just all kinds of stuff that goes.
Oh, they have a lot of cults that we probably need to talk about, actually.
Yeah, well, he's in one of them, and you know, he again, like,
so
a
not
lot of
the Waco one, but no. One of them.
Yeah, but just, yeah, he's, you know, he just has a lot of visions and out-of-body experiences that lead him to all kinds of things. Like, you know, so Wyatt's discoveries, you know, blood on the mercy seat, you know, but like, you know, there's the Ark of the Covenants. There's, he found the seven golden candlesticks, the table of shewbread, the altar of burnt incense, the ephod, you know, like the sword that belonged to Goliath.
He's found the whole thing.
Yeah. He found cool. Noah's body. He found Noah's wife's body.
Okay. What?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just, you know, like he's found all these things, you know. I don't know why you don't know about this.
I'm shocked that I don't know about all of the things.
Yeah. Okay. So you can't find this cave now because the cave concealed for the Ark is not for our eyes.
He lost
God
it.
God does not wish us to see it.
Ron lost the cave.
Yeah.
Sorry,
God lost the cave. I think that is actually
no. That is my story. That's what I'm choosing to believe. Ron lost it. He went there and then couldn't figure out where he found it because he was in a fucking trance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and couldn't get back.
Managed to get the blood, but not, you know, the gold. But
I love hate this so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So blood. Once blood is exposed to air, it's going to be dying. Immediately. It's
not unless it's on the Ark of the Covenant.
It's human tissue. Well, if it's on the Ark of the Covenant and it's fresh blood, then sure. If you've taken like Jesus's fresh ass blood that was still wet, okay. I'll buy that. Sure.
Jesus' blood is always wet.
Why? Why?
It's always living. Yeah,
I can't. I actually can't believe this. These people are such like fantastical thinkers,
mm-hmm.
And I imagine they're doing all of this sober. Like we've talked about a couple of just completely wackadoo people recently, including Joseph Smith. These people are interesting. They're very interesting.
Yeah. So, but yeah, this particular allegedly the blood sample. You know, didn't have the regular, you know, 46 that we have. It just had 23 chromosomes.
Okay, so that would have been sent to a research institution, probably not in Israel. And that's not even like shade. That's just like Israel doesn't have the hugest institutions because it's a small country. So if that had been the case, people would have mm-hmm. wanted to study that. I'm assuming they just threw it out or something.
Well, no, I mean, again, and according to his apologists and people that support him, it's, you know, the the Israeli government has it under lock and key. They don't want anyone to know about it.
Again, having something that you own under lock and key is not a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's your shit. Like, we're not letting people come in to steal our shit. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, I mean, I can the whole chromosome thing. Okay, I think that's bullshit. But like, let's just assume for a second he did find the Ark of the Covenant. Like, and I'm like an Israeli person that doesn't want a bunch of Westerners coming in and stealing my shit.
They already stole your whole goddamn religion.
Yeah, they stole our religion, and I mean, again, like I feel like I need to put a lot of asterisks around what I just said there when it comes to Israel and colonization and Westerners. But anyway, let's just
no. I mean, I think you're absolutely right from that perspective. Like, yeah, you would. That's how an Israeli person, I suspect, would feel that. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're going to come and take this shit. This isn't our book. Like, we came mm-hmm. up with this. We went through all that bullshit with God. So, like, we get to keep the fucking Ark. Like, that's how I would feel.
And
we
get to keep the Hobbit box.
Right? Like that. I completely understand what you're saying in terms of, like, wanting to kind of qualify it because of, you know, people who have been colonized can't immediately turn around and colonize other people. There are many instances of this in history, throughout mm-hmm. history. So, yeah, but I think that, like, from the perspective of just, like, your average Israeli citizen, I'm sure they'd be like, fuck you. Like, no, you don't get to just come and take our stuff anymore.
Yeah, no.
We're sorry. A real boy now. You can't take our all of our national treasures. That just seems like a normal human response to me.
Yeah. To be like, no, you don't get this. Especially if you found all that shit, like, in one spot. Like, no.
Noah's body?
Yeah, Noah's body. No, we get to keep that.
Oh my gosh, what animals have those little, like, troves that they dig where they just, like, hide all of their treasures? That's what God did.
It's like a niffler.
Just like, okay, this is where I put all my stuff. I mean, he found it. That's impressive.
Yeah,
it's impressive. Ron found the things.
Yeah, he did it.
Yep. And then got mad that he wasn't allowed to steal them.
Yeah, I had heard this before, like, years ago, and I had forgotten it until I was doing just some Googling for this episode, and I was like, holy shit, I forgot all about this. And it got even weirder than I even remembered it, so.
That's amazing. Noah's body.
Yeah.
How the fuck would you know it was Noah?
Yeah, exactly. I just carbon dated it by like tasting the femur. And
like, they don't believe in carbon dating. So, like, how would they do this?
I know.
Like, it's kind of a wonder they believe in DNA, to be honest. Like, you can't see it. Like, I'm shocked they believe in it. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize that we were inadvertently turning this into, like, a whole, like, treasure hunting theme for the summer, but I kind of fucking love it.
Yeah.
Evangelical treasure hunters.
Yeah, this is, like, national treasure,
bananas.
But better.
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to do with this? I don't even know.
I don't know. I feel like this needs to be a book or, like, a movie.
Right?
This needs to be a movie. I'm going to cast Nicolas Cage as Ronald Wyatt now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, I mean, that's fair. I'd cast Nick Offerman, I think, but like...
Ooh, yes.
But I mean, like, obviously Nicolas Cage has, I don't know, right of first refusal or whatever that's called.
Yes, yes. He's going to pass on this project or not.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I definitely would enjoy watching this film.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. This is fucking hysterical. And like, why they think they just get to take this shit. It's like, it exists, ergo, it is ours. And it's like, it's Christians. It's American Christians. It's like, mm-hmm. you're like last on the fucking list when it comes to who gets to have the Ark. Like, you don't rank. You didn't exist.
Yeah.
Why? Oh my gosh. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. I'm glad we solved that. Too bad Ron lost the cave.
Yeah, he misplaced the cave.
It's fair. I can barely remember hikes that I've already done, so you know, I can't say fair. I blame him.
Yeah. yeah, and caves they'd be hard to navigate.
They all look alike.
It's true. Every cave looks alike.
How are you supposed to tell them apart?
It's like a my Minecraft. You do the trick where you throw the torches on the left side of the cave so that you know where you've been.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, they didn't have Minecraft back when Ron was alive, so he didn't know to do that.
That's right. Some teenager today could find that thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. All right, this is incredible.
Anything else to add?
No, I just want the little Hobbit box that could. Mm-hmm. It's like giving off radiation and like literally giving people cancer like as they're watching it.
Yeah, God is an irradiated Hobbit vampire.
He is. Oh my gosh. He is. It's true.
We need to make a t-shirt that says that, and that's Ask Me How I Know.
It's like, it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Let's give you the dimensions here. And then Aaron's staff, that's the kicker.
Oh my gosh.
It requires blood. If it doesn't get blood, it gets cranky.
Sometimes human blood, but not always. It doesn't have to be human blood.
True.
He's like the Cullens that way. He can go for animals in between.
But, you know, at just a certain point, a human is the only thing that satisfies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's true. This story is nuts. Oh, my fucking God.
And apparently, this vampire who masquerades as Yahweh only has 24 chromosomes.
Oh, man. I feel there's got to be a joke in there somewhere for people who are like, I don't believe in pronouns, so I got to sit with that for a while, but I'm sure I'm going to have a comeback for somebody on Twitter very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I feel like by definition, you would be some kind of trans, intersex, something or other if you only had 24 chromosomes. I don't know if that's even possible, but I would be interested to Google that some more.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's not a lot of fucking around you can do with chromosomes and still be like a viable fetus. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty narrow.
Or 23, sorry, not 24.
Pretty narrow window of.
Well, yeah, because we didn't sequence the genome until like late 90s.
Yeah, so, yeah, this would have been like before Clinton, then, for sure. Clinton was in office when that project got completed, and it was a really big deal. Yeah. Because it's just like a massive amount of data. yeah. So maybe that's what it was. He just got damaged DNA in his black Jesus blood.
I mean, it's possible that orc blood only has 24 chromosomes.
Shut up.
But okay, that's it. We're done.
This is over. We're finished.
Lord of the Rings is actually the Earth.
Turning the mics off.
Yeah. We're done. Stay tuned for the Lord of the Rings is actually real history podcast later.
That'll be our bonus episode. Patrons only.
Yeah, pre-flood geography.
I can't. Okay, cool.
Okay, well, yeah, we got to be done. Okay. I'm out. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. And stay tuned for that maybe podcast. Maybe that might be a patron special where we just riff on Lord of the Rings. I appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great week. Stay away from small gold boxes.
Very far away.
Yeah. All right.